Good morning, boys. Well, it's a beautiful rainy morning, isn't it? We need the rain, the grass. A blessing to have rain. Okay, well, any prayer requests before we pray? Okay. I'm sorry.
Lori and Jessica.
Okay. Brian and Olin. Okay, the people in Guatemala. Good. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning that we can again come before you knowing you're ever ready and present to hear us. And we ask your blessing on the prayer request there. The boys in Peru, we pray that you would help them and be with them and give them wisdom. And those they're ministering to. Just help each one, Lord, wherever they are, trying to serve you. Just help them to be strong and courageous and look to you to keep on. Help us, Lord, to look at ourselves, first of all. And help these boys here to grow and do what's right in their life. May your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, open your Bible to... What psalm is it? Do you know which one it is? Did you read it ahead of time this morning? Pray not. Yeah, I should have you, my boys do that. I don't generally do that. But it would be a good thing to read the psalm before you get to class, right? So you know what we're going to be talking about, right? Okay, Psalm 53. Psalm 53. This psalm here is a... Well, what's it say right before the psalm? Can somebody, one of you read that to me? Go ahead, Roger.
For the end in hymns concerning understanding by David, when Ziphites came, said to Saul, not David, but himself.
Yes, okay, good. Yeah, I especially wanted there about the Ziphites, when they came. Okay, you with me? You ready? I wanted to talk about, especially how the Ziphites, David went and hid among them one time when he was running from Saul. And they went and said to the king, hey, David's over here hiding with us. Want to come get him? You know? How do you think? Do you think David liked that? No, that wasn't very kind, was it? Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is read this psalm, then we're going to go read the story about the Ziphites. Okay, you understand? What do you think? Okay, let's read. Save me, O God, in your name, and judge me in your power. See that? Save me, O God. Who was chasing him? Micah? Saul was chasing him, yes, and he's saying to God, save me in your power, or in your name, and judge me in your power. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers rise up against me, and the powerful seek after my soul. Who was the powerful? Randall. Saul was the powerful. Yeah. The king. He was seeking after his soul. They have not set God before them. Let's pause and think about that. Why were they seeking after his soul? What was the reason there at the end? Do you remember? Yes. Well, yeah. What's it say right there, right before the pause? Why do you think they were seeking after the soul? What was wrong?
Because they mistrusted the powerful and
the
soul.
Louder.
Okay.
Louder.
Say it again a little
louder. Louder. Wow.
David obeyed God, and God made him powerful, and then Saul wanted to get rid of him.
Okay. Good. Now, another thing, what's it say right there before the pause? Why do you think the powerful were seeking after David's soul like this? David gave a reason right there, right before we pause. Yes, Jacob. They had not set God before them. Okay, let's keep reading. For behold, God is my helper, and the Lord is the protector of my soul. He will return evils to my enemies. utterly destroy them in your truth. I will sacrifice to you voluntarily. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. You delivered me from all my afflictions, and my eye looked upon my enemies. Okay, let's turn now back to 1 Kings or 1 Kingdoms 23. I'd like to read 13 through the end of the chapter. 1 Kings 23, verse 13. I want to read this story to you, refresh your memory about this when David was running away from Saul. Okay? You find it? 1 Kings 23.
23.
Okay.
Verse 13, chapter 23.
Yeah, right there you go. And David stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness and remained in the mountain of Ziph, which was dry country. Saul sought him every day, but the Lord did not deliver him into his hands. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek him, and David was on the arid mountain in New Ziph. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in New Ziph and strengthened his hand in the Lord. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in New Ziph, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Ziphites came up from the dry places to Saul, who was upon the hill, saying, "Behold, is David not hiding with us in Masara, in the strongholds in New Ziph, in the hill of Hakilah, on the south of Jeshimon? Now come down to us according to all the desire of the king." They cornered him in for the hands of the king. And Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have toiled on my account. Please go and make more preparations. See the place where his hideout is and tell me quickly, lest by any means he escape through cunning. See therefore and know, and we will go with you. And if he is in the land, I will search for him among the thousands of Judah." So the Ziphites arose and went before Saul. But David and his men were in the desert of Maon, in the wilderness of Maon, westward and to the right of Jessamine. So Saul and his men went to seek him. It was reported to David, and he went down to the rock in the desert of Maon, and Saul heard and pursued David in the desert of Maon. Then Saul and his men went on one side of this mountain, and David and his men on the other side of this mountain. And David was hiding himself to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. It's getting pretty scary there, isn't it? But look what the Lord does next. Okay? But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hasten and come here quickly, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore Saul turned back from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines in battle. So they called that place the Rock of Dividing. Who saved David when he was getting all encircled around by Saul and his mighty men? Yeah. Okay. God, yes. God did. And how did God do that? Yes, my son. Yes, saying the Philistines are coming, right? So Saul went to chase the Philistines. So God saved Saul there. David. God saved David from Saul. Okay, now let's go back to the psalm again, Psalm 53. And I want to just read this psalm again, thinking about that, okay? With that story fresh on your mind of how David got away from Saul there. Okay. And now read what he wrote. I guess David had a little time in the evening out there in the wilderness to do some writing, and he wrote this little psalm here. Maybe that same night, not sure. "Save me, O God, in your name, and judge me in your power. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers rise up against me, and the powerful seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. For behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the protector of my soul. He will return evils to my enemies, utterly destroy them in your truth. I will sacrifice to you voluntarily. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. You delivered me from all my afflictions, and my eye looked upon my enemies. Okay, David. I think God saved David from fighting against Saul there. I don't know what David would have done if they had got completely encircled by Saul and his men, but they may have fought to get out, but I don't know. But anyway, who was David looking to take care of his enemies? What's it say there? Who is David's protector? God. Right. Yes. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the protector of my soul. He will return evils to my enemies. So if you have enemies in your life, what was David thinking about his razor-sharp sword to help him with against these enemies? Who was he thinking about to help him against his enemies? God, yes. Was he thinking about all his 500 men that were following him and their razor-sharp swords? No, he was thinking about God. He was asking God for protection. So in your life, when you're facing hard times, should you think about all the things that you have at your disposal to maybe fight against that or them? Or should you think about God and what He can do? Yeah. Amen. Right. Look to the Lord and trust in Him. That's what David was doing here. So, okay, well, remember that in your life, to look to God like David did, and not to your own smarts or your own muscle, whatever you've got. Okay, boys, you ready to say your Bible memory? Or what were you supposed to say? Or get ready to pour? Micah?
Do you think there's something that helps you read your Bible?
Yes, good. Okay, let's... You ready, Sylvester?
When you put a seed in the ground, God makes it grow.
I was thinking about how all nature works, and it couldn't be like that without a God. Really.
I have proof that evolution's not true.
David, can you speak louder?
I have proof that evolution's not true and life isn't just an accident, because if people used to be monkeys, there wouldn't be any more monkeys. Also, the ecosystems and the food chains wouldn't work right, and life would be going, and if life has been going for millions of years, no, an accident like this couldn't go on for millions of years. Besides, you can just see it. If evolution were true, how could we be standing here talking about life and God?
Talking about what at the end?
Life and God.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
What helps me believe there is a God is that we would not even be doing this assignment if life was an accident, or everything would not work like the ecosystem and how our bodies work.
When I go look out outside in a sunny morning, I see the sun, and I know there's a God.
It's a natural thing for people to be scared of dying, because they know that there's a God in heaven that's going to judge them.
I thought of sometimes when you're traveling, you just look out and see mountains, and you can tell how that God, you can tell God made them, because they're so beautiful and nobody else can make them that perfect.
Okay, good. That's right. Yeah, it wasn't just an accident that we're here, is it? Okay. Well, for next week, get a verse ready that tells you how to behave toward older people, okay? Okay, you may go.
My verse was Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you."
And what were your verses about?
Faith in God, correct?
Strength and faith in God. What's that? Was it talking about strength?
Yeah, that and the verse
thing. I thought of kind of how something about what makes you think of God is the wind, where it comes from. It just starts blowing, and then you don't know where it goes. And it's kind of amazing to me, the wind. And then I thought about faith. I thought of Job, how he had faith when everything was going wrong. He still had faith that God was just and right, and he knew that whatever happened, God was still with him through it all. I want to have faith like that no matter what happens. I know God's still there.
Something that helps me believe in God is how you can just have a seed that drops onto the ground, into the dirt, and water comes from the sky, and all of a sudden it turns into a tree or whatever it is supposed to. And then my verse is 1 Timothy 1:19. Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, and have suffered shipwreck.
First Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was true, blameless, righteous, and God-fearing, and he abstained from every evil thing. He just really believed in God and was faithful, and that helps me.
Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. And then I also thought of Rich Man and Lazarus, how the rich man thought that he could send someone from the dead to his brethren, and then he said that they wouldn't believe. And then I thought about how it's so easy. It's the easiest thing to see that God exists and that good and right exists. But on the other hand, it's the hardest thing to see at times.
Just thought about the rain this morning. God sends the rain to make things grow. And just think of the growing season. You know, when spring's coming, you walk out one morning, it seems like, and just, you know, start noticing things turning green. Just grass is starting to turn green, get leaves and buds on the trees, and it's just pretty amazing how all that works. Just, I mean, it's not just a random chance. There's, you know, you just look, tell God's behind it. And I thought, you know, verse Hebrews 11, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by God, by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible.
I thought about how that the prophets in the Old Testament would prophesy about things that would come, and it happened, like when Isaiah prophesied about Jesus when he'd be on the cross, that none of his bones would be broken. And that happened then, like he said.
I thought about when Stephen was there and then people were killing him. I thought that he knew that. I thought about that he would. He knew that God would just take him, and he would, because he was living for God, and he didn't try to run away when he could have. He knew that God could help him. I thought that we were supposed to do the boys' lesson too, so I got something for that. And it was about, it was about how we thought about to know that God was real. And I thought people tried to make life and people and things, but they can't do it. God let them hurt.
I had Hebrews 11, 23, and 27, or no, 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passage of pleasures of sin, considering the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking for that reward. And I thought of this at the fall when the leaves fall, that's not, God has to give that.
Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both sons of Joseph and worshiped, lying upon the top of his staff. And it was naked.
God had to make everything, human beings, all the animals.
Okay, thank you. For next Sunday, you older boys, show us or read us a verse that tell us what young people are like. A verse that says what young people are intended to be like anyway, or something like that. And then another verse that shows you how to overcome that or grow into what it should be.